Well, yesterday was Earth Day, but tomorrow is Earth Justice Day. That's an annual event. It's celebrated at Naropa University, and there'll be a keynote talk given tomorrow and a panel discussion happening on Thursday. Joining me now in the studio, Dr. Paloma Pavel, who'll be giving the keynote talk, but also joining us in the studio, Michael Bauer, who is the Sustainability Director at Naropa. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Maeve. It's a joy to be here.
Well, Michael, give our listeners a sense exactly what is Earth Justice Day all about. It's the fourth year.
Mm-hmm. This is our take on Earth Day, Maeve, and it's an annual event. It's an action-based social event where Naropa and the wider Boulder community come together to root into these, I would say, inextricable connections between social and environmental justice objectives. And so folks can come out to take action to help build a more resilient, regenerative society.
And that issue of making the connections between social justice, economic justice, racial justice and environmental justice is so crucial. And that's where Dr. Paloma Pavel has really spent so much of her career digging into this. Yesterday, we heard from Carl Anthony, and he'll also be doing the keynote address on Wednesday, and we'll be at the panel discussion on Thursday, speaking about the racialization of space and really that integration or that intersection, rather, of racism and environmental degradation. And you have done so much in this area as well in your career, Dr. Pavel. You're president of the Earth House Center. What exactly is that for listeners who aren't familiar?
Well, thank you, Maeve. And I'd like to take a moment to just step back and, as part of Earth Day, honor that we are here on Arapaho and Cheyenne land. And in terms of the racialization of space, I think we can begin with where we are standing and the bodies that we are in, as we are bodies are also part of this earth, this most intimate part of our earth that we are a part of, and that there are bodies that are the bones of the ancestors are buried here. So we have with us in any moment, we have present time. We also have a deep time of ancestry that goes back millions of years, billions of years. And we also have a hope of a time going forward. And we also embody that in our bodies, in our gonads. So we like to say that the future is here and the future is now. And part of that is actual scientific fact that in our gonads, all life that can be is already embodied in us. And we're hearing the voices of the youth rising up now who are reminding us of this as well. So we are here now in this amazing day, in this amazing week, and this great moment to both see the challenges that we have of really being at home together, all in, no one left out, and sustaining and creating a regenerative future that can work for all.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that we are on stolen land here, and that is rarely acknowledged, certainly by people who are making policies around environmentalism or planning, land planning. And that is very much reflected as well in what's happening with migration. And I'd like to get into that, because that is so much driven and it's at the intersection of the climate crisis as well. And yet that also is rarely discussed in that context too. Dr. Pavel, talk a little bit about that intersection of what's happening right now with migration, the manufactured crisis, political crisis at the southern border with people fleeing violence, but also fleeing communities that have been degraded because of climate chaos, and how we're not linking the two when we're having those political conversations.
Right. Thank you, Maeve. And I've just come from San Diego at the funeral and passing of my mother, which is also a place that I grew up. And San Diego has been a place of La Frontera, the border. I was raised biculturally, and the shaping of that line, where we need to really acknowledge and be building bridges rather than walls at this point, has really informed my life and my work since I was born. So it's very much with me in this moment, coming from San Diego and the talk of the wall and the creation of a wall. And often when we hear in the news about migration, there is acknowledgement of or fear of poverty and violence and things that these groups are fleeing, but really seeing the circle of this, that many of these communities are living in places that have become climatically no longer sustainable or viable, where we have either cut the rainforest or destroyed the habitat for sustainable agriculture, so that people are actually required and forced to flee due to climate disruption that we have had a major hand in creating. So that what we're seeing is the result of climate disruption and the rivers of people, and it's not only people but species, that with warming, species are moving north and moving towards places that resemble are attempting many species. So it's our human community, it's also our earth community, is on the move right now due to climate disruption around the world. And we'll be seeing more of this. There's a report that was done by the World Health Organization, Shockwaves, on that as we continue, that many, many people will be forced into poverty and forced into migration. And so we need to really rethink how we're living together in an interconnected world, and not only here in the U.S., but globally. And we're hearing from the island nations that are already underwater, and many other groups that are being hit in various ways.
I think it's very easy to get despondent in the face of what's happening right now. But I know you're also very much solution oriented, and you work with communities that are finding their own solutions. And these are communities that aren't often given a seat at the table when we're having these big dialogues about what to do with the climate catastrophe. These are often low income communities, communities of colour, and youth led communities as well. Give us some solution oriented stories that you can share.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here and share what's happening, because what I see is the moment of this challenge is also one of our greatest opportunities. And I like to think of this as a time of great turning, as our colleague Joanna Macy calls it, and an active hope. And I think of hope as being sort of a verb with its sleeves rolled up. And we're all, as we roll up our sleeves and see that we have so much to learn and to contribute to one another, and that it's a moment of releasing our greatest courage. So in the Bay Area, we've been working across the 9 counties surrounding the Bay on adapting to rising tides. And we had recently a legislative opportunity that was exciting, that a call for the governor's office for sustainable community solutions coming from each of the regions of California. So in the Bay Area, we work to see that community groups across boundaries, groups that had previously been at loggerheads with each other, housing activists fighting with transportation activists, whatnot. And we saw that we had a moment to come together, and not only across our divides of various specializations, but also across generational boundaries. And one of my favorite stories is when youth groups in West Oakland had the opportunity to link with university graduate students in the University of California system, and see that when we linked the documenting of community-based needs driven by the community to the solutions that and privilege access that some of the graduate tools had, that we actually created a community-driven plan for climate action that outperformed the agency plan, so that I'll never forget the moment when Davila Irvin from West Oakland, who was in high school and found out that his sister's asthma was actually tied to climate, that it wasn't simply about polar bears, but actually it was about the health of his communities and the particulate matter that his sister was suffering from. And he became an outrageous, powerful, articulate leader who was one of the most influential spokespeople in front of city council. And he took Alex Karner, professor now, aside and said, "Alex, hey man, you got great tools, but you need us to lead you." And when they learned to do that and to work together, it actually transformed both of their lives and their futures. And I see this kind of transformation on bursting open everywhere.
Well, Dr. Paloma Pavel will be giving the keynote address along with Carl Anthony, who we heard from yesterday. That is The Earth, the City and the Hidden Narrative of Race. It's tomorrow at noon at the Naropa Performing Arts Complex. It's the downtown Boulder campus. And it's part of the Naropa Earth Justice Day celebrations. And there'll also be a panel discussion at the panel discussion Thursday evening. That's at 6:30 at the Nalanda campus. That's out on East Arapaho. Thank you very much, Dr. Pavel, for being with us.
Thank you, Maeve.